What do you do when you have time on your hands? Lots of it. This is a real challenge in retirement. What do you do with all those hours? Decide to be your own boss and move forward with zero guilt and zero regrets. Tune in to Fresh Courage Radio. It's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on Transformation Talk Radio. We all have something special to share with the world, but many of us fail to use our innate talents to the fullest possible potential. Communities, cities, and nations grow stronger when everyone brings forward their unique gifts and talents to build and to create. We're creating with a freedom we never had before. It's not a trap. It's not a dream. You really are free. Time is your key to unlocking a life kept in waiting. Let's get started. There's no time to waste on Fresh Courage Radio with Sharon Rolfe now.
You are listening to Fresh Courage coming to you on the Transformation Talk Radio. And I love to help people live wholeheartedly, to enjoy everything and live boldly with meaningfulness. So I like to remind you daily, do something that gives happiness, health, and wealth. Do you have plans for this week to live happiness, health, and wealth? So maybe you've been one of those people that have been knocked off your feet recently with a transition, like empty nesters, retirement, being a former caregiver, or becoming a widow, or has somebody you know been through that. It might leave you feeling confused, marginalized, perhaps invisible, or useless, even bored. I've gone through some of this too, and now I love helping people find a new clarity and direction again so they can experience the ideal, a place to fit in, to matter, and to make a difference. I'm the creator of the Effortless Vitality Plan and the Longevity Blueprint. And our topic today is third calling people. Now, that's a little unusual, so we're going to have Leona and Richard explain that for us. They're the authors of Third Calling, What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life? And another book called The Amazing Grace, Unleashing the Power of Age in Your Congregation. Richard has a psychology degree and a DMIN. And Leona has a sociology degree and has been the director at Christo Senior Community in our area. And they are founders of Reignite and Reignite You for Boomers. Welcome, Richard and Leona.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
And what are we going to learn today and why is that relevant?
We are going to learn, we hope, because of our passion, that you'll learn a little bit more about how to live with purpose and passion in a new season of life. And it's relevant because there's so many of us. We are they, we are the boomers as well. And we have a unique opportunity to live this season of life with intentionality and purpose.
Richard and Leona, how long have you been working on this subject and how does it play into your life today?
Probably all of our lives, but actively for the last 20 years, we've been messaging this topic on when the boomers get older or when the boomers turn 50 was, I remember, an early presentation that we made. So we've been at it a while, and now we are one of them.
And so tell us what you mean by third calling.
We've kind of made up that word in a little bit as we've looked at the different segments of life. Mm-hmm. And we have a pretty sincere belief that we are called to be and do things at different seasons of our life that really matter to mankind, to the good of our communities. We started playing with this idea of a first calling being when we're in college, you know, when we're getting educated and that first excitement of changing the world. You know, we graduated at a time where, yes, we were going to change the world. Richard went into ministry. I went into social work. We were going to make a difference. And we had all the optimism in the world, right? And we kind of call that our first calling, that preparing for launching into that first part of our life. Then we call second calling, maybe our 30s and 40s. We start to get into some routine. Maybe we're buying a home, we're pursuing our career, maybe we're getting married, maybe having children, we're establishing ourselves. Mm-hmm. Mostly, we kind of don't think too much about calling because we're just trying to pay the mortgage, keep our credit score right. And that's the second calling. And then something happens, as we've observed in our own lives, as well as those with whom we work. Something happens. You had mentioned maybe it's an empty nest. Maybe it's the loss of a spouse or a loss of a parent. Maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Something seems to happen in our life at this season where we stop and we go, what am I doing the rest of our life, my life, which, as you know, is the tagline of our book. And we call that our third calling, a new season, a new opportunity to look at who we are and where we're going and what we're doing the rest of our lives. So that's where that third calling idea came from. What is it that we were created and are skilled to do in a new season of life?
And your two careers are kind of coming together very nicely in this season, isn't it?
Well, yes, they have come together intentionally as we agreed to focus on this topic back in the year 2000. And that led to some combined efforts, both locally and nationally, to begin to address the issues of the aging boomer population. And it also led us to several opportunities internationally, which has been quite exciting.
Fun. That integrating what each of you are strong at, and it makes a powerful message. So why is it important to look back?
Well, I think it's important to look back and to review our lives so that we can gain insight into who we are and where we want to go in the future. There has been some great research, scientifically even, on the benefits of life review that allow us to better understand ourselves. Robert Butler was a leader in the field, the late Robert Butler, who identified some of those values, unleashing creativity in this later stage of life. Mm-hmm. We can't really understand where we want to go with the rest of our lives until we know a bit about who we are and what our interests are. Life review helps us to rediscover some of those. When I did life review years ago in 1995 at midlife, it helped me to identify my values because our life choices and priorities reveal to us what our values are. And as we move into this next stage of life, to reconnect with those values and to live them out for the rest of our lives is very important and significant.
So it gave you new knowledge about yourself, right?
Yes. And even recently, I did another assessment that helped me to identify my motivations. And a lot of that was life review, recounting stories from your life of success and achievement that gave you a sense of satisfaction.
Yeah.
To explore what your core motivations were. MCOR is the abbreviation for motivational core, based upon some earlier study. And so reconnecting with those things that really motivated me as I moved beyond age 65 and transitioned out of a traditional role has really helped me to stay engaged.
Well, I know every time I've done a profile or learned something about myself, that's valuable time spent and valuable knowledge. So, Leona, what did you learn?
From life review?
Yeah.
I learned a lot about who mattered to me, who built into my life, significant events that changed my life, or maybe choices or decisions I made. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that in a continuum, in some sort of life review tool, you begin to just see that there is a thread that runs through. A thread of calling, like I said earlier. And you identify, part of what we do is try to help people identify what's so unique about each one of us. And we can talk about that in a minute. But there's nobody's story like yours. None.
Right.
Nobody had the life experience you have. Hence, you bring all this experience to where you are today in order to give back to people as those have given to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I love the word unique, and I don't know why, but even unique furniture, unique pictures, you know, unique experiences. And to realize that I bring my own uniqueness is pretty cool too. So let's talk about, you said there's some components to uniqueness.
Well, we think there are several components to being okay. unique, and it's so fun to explore each one of them. Some are pretty obvious. There's your personality, and who else has one like you, right? And that's how you behave and how you how you behave on a daily basis in certain areas. So that's your personality. That's you. There are many, many assessments that talk about what kind of personality you are, from very sophisticated assessments to Facebook assessments as to what color you're like or what kind of car you're like, right? So all kinds of ways to kind of get an idea of who I am and how I behave. Another thing we like to talk about are our strengths. And we use in our retreats and in our coaching, Strengths Finder, which Gallup has used for years and years, and helping people find what they're wired, how they're wired, naturally wired, talented to be. And I think Strengths Finder has been extremely influential for both of us and in mm-hmm. those that we've worked with, that which we're strong at. You know, I keep telling people, we don't have time to keep working on our weaknesses at this period of life. Why even talk about it? Work about what it is, on what it is that we're strong. Richard referred to values. Really identifying what matters to you is very part of who you are and what makes you unique. And oh, we could tell so many stories about conflict of values with people or in organizations that really influenced decisions and stuff. But values is part of what makes you unique. Richard also referred to motivations. What is it that makes you even want to get up in the morning? What is it that motivates you that is the fire in your belly, you know? I like to talk a lot about passion, what it is that I care the most about. Maybe it's a cause, a people group, an issue. That's another part of what makes you unique. Your dreams. Mm-hmm. It is that you would just love to see happen in your life or in the world or in your family. We come from a Christian perspective, so we also feel there's some spiritual gifting that mm-hmm. makes us unique. And what it is we can contribute. So you put all that together with your own life experience, and you are unique. You're unique, Sharon, right? Mm-hmm. All that you are, and your personality and your strengths and your motivations, and how you're impacting others because of how unique you are.
Yeah, so cool. I'm trying to think of an example. I have enjoyed Strength Finders also. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I did MCOR with you, Leona, I have now put the little phrase experiencing the ideal, which was one of my strengths, into my elevator speech, what I started with. So I guess not everybody has a feeling for experiencing the ideal, but man, I know what that is. You know, that's like heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm. We both are afflicted by that.
you got it too, Richard, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's prompted us to write books that capture our vision of a preferred future for our peers and an aging population, because we have an ideal about what that should look like or could look like. And then we see much of society defaulting into their own paradigm of retirement as leisure and self-indulgence, which we like to challenge that and say, how can you, by discovering more about who you are and what you're wired to do, invest that back into society?
Well, and I, when I had my 70th birthday party, I brought out how that scripture talks many places about that your joy may be full. That's the ideal, and mm-hmm. or being fulfilled. And do we not realize we've got a right to that? You know, it may be here on earth as well as in heaven. So give that some thought, you know. Mm-hmm. So let's see. What? So have you kind of covered the question then Leona, about what makes it, what does it mean to be uniquely designed? Should we go into that some more?
You want to say anything more about that?
Well, only on a personal level. You know, when a person discovers their unique design, it can really help to frame their future and their interactions with other people. Many have done the Myers-Briggs, and growing up, I always thought I was an extrovert because I was involved in student leadership and the ministry and public speaking. And I discovered in my 30s, probably late 30s, after taking the Myers-Briggs, that I was quite an extreme introvert. And that helped me to understand where my energy came from, that introverts draw their energy from retreating, taking a walk in nature, and extroverts get their energy from being around people. They can just run constantly. They're like a car with an alternator that recharges as it runs around people. And so we learn things from those assessments that help us to understand how we interact with other people and how to invest our lives.
I don't know that I'm an extreme introvert, but the last couple of years when I did my meetup group, one of the guys in the group challenged me that he says, I can't believe you're an introvert. And I think maybe when you see people living from their passion, that introvert kind of goes in the closet a little bit, because we love and want to sprinkle this passion to others and have them light up their lives too. Does that make sense?
Sure. You're living, you're working, you're ministering out of your passion and what motivates you. And that's very energizing in spite of the fact that you're around people.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's see, what are some ways that travel can expand our world? You've had several stories, I bet, of people who expanded their life as they learn about their experiences and their motivation. Tell us a couple of those.
Well, we've had some unique opportunities to travel internationally, sometimes as a result of taking teams overseas for doing good things in other cultures. We also had an opportunity to travel during a sabbatical that I took in 2013. We were in 10 countries in 6 weeks and transitioning between languages, borders, currencies, cultures, and learning to adapt to those situations, appreciate cultural differences, even expanding our worldview. You know, Rich Steves does a great job there in Edmonds about encouraging travel and helping people to be culturally sensitive as they travel, to be open-minded and observe and just learn to appreciate the different cultures and people groups around the world. And so as we've taken teams of people, for them, it can often be life-enriching, if not life-changing. And we've seen some people really find their purpose and their third calling in their retirement after experiencing something in another culture. Mm-hmm. One example was a woman who took on the sex trafficking trade after she saw it happening in other cultures and led that movement for several years after her encounter with that internationally. So different things can impact people as they travel in different cultures. I had a professor once that said that our values are shaped as we grow up in life, but they can be changed by an experience in mid or later life. And that's what happened with her.
I remember one of their stories about somebody who adopted a little child that they saw on a bus. You want to tell us that story?
I think it's that same story that you're referring to.
Oh, okay.
We're at a garbage dump in Managua, Nicaragua. And she was ready to leave, and we were in our van. Mm-hmm. And just as we were pulling out, this young girl came up to the window of the van, and she and this woman's eyes just met and kind of understood for the first time what pain was in these eyes. Mm-hmm. She came back to the U.S. a couple months later, we found out that this little girl had died, and she died of HIV infection of HIV contracted by sexual encounter with one of the garbage truck drivers. And this friend that we are talking about just said, no more, no. And yeah. It changed her life, seeing it in another culture, but came back and saw how prevalent it was even here in the Seattle area and said, I can do something about that. So I think that's the story you're referring to. But we've hardly ever, we've never come back from international travel the same. You see life differently, but mostly you see yourself differently, and that you maybe do have biases, or maybe you do have something to contribute, one or the other. So it changes you, whether you actually travel internationally or you study about international issues and cultures.
Well, while I've been on this, last year I went to a retirement coaches conference, and one of the active guys there, Paul Long, has made a video of how the Peace Corps started. And I want to start challenging boomers to come alongside their favorite charity or consider being a part of Peace Corps again for the same reason that Richard and Leona are sharing, that it changes you. You realize you've got prejudice or that you still can contribute. So that we're trying to inspire a quality of life that is so satisfying that you know you're here to solve this particular problem, and it means so much to you that it'll be part of your legacy you leave, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Cool. That's right.
All right. So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Leona and Richard about the importance of grandparenting. Wonder what that's about. Stay tuned.
Your money is your creational energy. When you feed your wealth back into what you love, it signals your choices and returns to you. Tune in to Money Momentum with host Karen Baines and learn the truth about the widely misunderstood creative energy that is the cash in your pocket. Realign the things you can't see to get the results you can see. Listen every month for a whole new hour on how to get the money already aligned to who you are. For more information on Karen and Money Momentum, visit soulwhispers.uk.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We're able to determine the exact disease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Thank you for coming back. You are listening to Fresh Courage on the Transformation Talk Radio Network, and I'm your host, Sharon Rolfe, and my guests today are Richard and Leona Bergstrom, and we're talking about this unusual topic of a third calling. And part of what's involved in this, they think that grandparenting is now a priority for today's baby boomers. Why is that?
I think we're seeing boomers really excited to be grandparents. We all get just ridiculously goofy with grandchildren when they enter. When you first find out you're going to have the first one, you just get crazy. We bought all kinds of things that we probably didn't need. But grandparenting is such an amazing role. And I think at this time of our history, boomers do have more time, more interest in knowing their grandchildren, whether it's because we get a second chance with kids. I don't know exactly why all of this interest, or if it's because it brings us hope. My grandchildren bring me hope as I watch them grow and learn and become these unique people. We have six of them. Also, I think it gives us an opportunity for relationships that are extremely unique. To be involved with the next generation, to give ourselves to the next generation. You talk about legacy, that which goes on. I also think boomers we just like to have fun as a generation, and you get all kinds of excuses. The things I've done as an old lady going down the slides at a water slide or something. I mean, you do things that are fun. And I think that is part of just the joy of grandparenting and the legacy of grandparenting. There are new movements. You should tell them a little bit about legacy.
Yes, there's an entirely new, fresh movement amongst more of a faith-based community called Legacy Coalition. And they now are in about their third year of annual conferences that draw over 1,000 people. We attended and presented 2 years ago. This year, I think they're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama, later this year. And a lot of books being published, resources being developed, kind of a all of a sudden bandwagon approach. Let's get on this bandwagon, and yet a very legitimate movement to address the needs of grandparents, understanding the diverse types of grandparenting roles from living clear across the country and only getting to visit them occasionally to actually raising your grandchildren, which we know people that because of various situations in their children's lives, be it drug addiction, incarceration, or death, or whatever, that they've ended up raising their grandchildren. And so that's a whole nother dimension to that. We knew many couples who, or widows or widowers, who moved clear across the country to be nearer their grandchildren.
Oh yeah.
And reconnect with family and in a new stage of life. I think that's something each individual or couple needs to carefully evaluate their priorities and their values. we've known families that have moved into the same house and shared a house, maybe an upper and lower level, to be able to, number one, cut down on housing costs with oftentimes the older parents of the adult children making a significant investment in a house that can accommodate all of them. So there's a lot of different roles and models out there.
When you talk to people our age about purpose, oftentimes people will say, my purpose is my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody just a couple of days ago and he said, "What, you know, let's talk about your purpose." She goes, "I've realized at this stage of my life, it's relationships. That's what I want to pour my energy and life into. And my grandchildren are my first level of that." So I think that whole idea of relationship, of purposeful living in the next generation has really been a conviction of many, many of our peers.
Good, good. Okay, Richard, what do you do when you play with your grandkids?
We do all kinds of things. We play games. They love competitive table games, especially as they get older, the strategy games, and very, very smart about those. So you feel like you've really achieved something when you beat them at their own game. We live in a unique place where they love to go to the beach and dig around in the sand and collect clamshells, play outside on the patio, four square, kickball, football. We keep a lot of outdoor lawn yard
toys
available for them. We've taken them to
catch, play catch.
Play a little catch, but they love to play. They always pull on your time to sit down with them or go outside with them.
They
don't want to just be around you. They want to engage with you. So that's fun.
So I was at one of the international women's brunches yesterday, and I made a point to talk to two of the speakers afterwards that might result in getting some interviews or podcasts, but that, and getting back to why parents will move to be near their kids, this might play into it, that even though there's all this advice of what boomers should do, what's not being talked about is that when you don't take on some of this advice, isolation leads to depression, leads to declining health, leads to dying off. And why aren't we saying there's consequences to not being connected with people? So when you move close to your grandkids, it may be just as much for your own social well-being and relationships, and the ripple effect being impacting your health for the good too.
Yes, and you mentioned isolation, which is interesting because right now, we're in the midst of the coronavirus all around us, especially in Seattle, Washington, first diagnosed case of that. And people are increasingly being isolated, if not quarantined on an extreme basis. But everyone is now kind of afraid of gathering, being around people, being a group. So it's a whole new, we've never experienced this before to this degree. So if you were already isolated, now you can be extremely isolated and cut off from human connectivity. They talk about social distancing so that you don't catch it from somebody else. So
I was pretty, there's been some thoughts running through my mind as to how much will this create a new normal. And I hope it does. And maybe it does the opposite of saying, enough of that, we're ready to get past that. But when I was out doing my walk yesterday, I was shocked at how many people, you know, it's in between the rainstorms, granted, but people with their dogs and with their, you know, warm clothes on. And it's like we were so ready to be outside.
Mm-hmm. One element to this thing about grandparenting, though, are those people in between called our kids and the adult children. And how do we continue? It's very important to continue nurturing a relationship with your adult children, not just jump to the next one, not just be with the grandchildren. And sometimes that may take some healing. Not all boomers have great relationships with adult children. And so part of what we also want to encourage is developing that communication, healing those relationships, grandparenting in concert with parents, not in spite of or around of or instead of, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there's that whole big package of the whole intergenerational relationship.
So you've got some practical ways about leaving a legacy of faith too, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. I mean, we talk about living a legacy as well as leaving a legacy. It's a time when you're around financial planners, retirement planners, they're talking about financial legacy, leaving something out of your assets to your children, your grandchildren.
Inheritance, yeah.
An inheritance, right. But at the same, while that's valuable and important, it's also we have an opportunity during our lifetime to live out a legacy by continuing to find and follow our purpose and make a contribution back to the next generations. Sociologists call that generativity, where we're giving back. We're not just taking in, we're not just self-indulging, but we're actually giving back to the families, the communities, the faith communities, the world in which we live. Mm-hmm. And so it's something we can do in our lifetime, not just after we're gone.
I think we find that sometimes by serving together. And you've seen that even in the last week as people have been putting together little care packages for people that are quarantined or whatever, but to do it together intergenerationally means we all give out of who we're created to be and how we're designed. I have a quick story about that.
It's okay. Just
related to one of our most recent release was our journal, and we can talk about it later, but we put together this My Life After Work journal, which is an opportunity for people to go through some of these questions that we're talking about right now. But when we had the idea to do the journal, I wanted some illustrations in it. And that one particular day, our 12-year-old grandson was sitting on our couch and he was sketching. And all of a sudden I thought, what if he could do this with us? So I said, Noah, would you ever be interested in illustrating a book that Papa and Nanny are doing? And he just lit up and went, I would love to do that, Nanny. And what became of that is he did the illustrations in this journal, some of them, but he got so passionate about third calling. He goes around telling his friends, grandparents, you know, that they need to know purpose and meaning and find their third calling. But what it was is together we did something together that gave back. And that was just a very recent example of how we were able to team up with our
Rich. Yeah. And I bet it will change his life forever, you know?
He's ours. A published artist now at age 12 through 13. And so he's listed on Amazon with us as one of the contributors.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, we are going to take another quick break here, and we're going to ask Leona and Richard, how can we live forever? Stay tuned.
Sales goals, or maybe your business plan could use a dose of the divine. Tune in to Divinely Driven Results with faith-based business coach Elise Smith on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Coach Elise Smith helps listeners get unstuck from their business plateau and become empowered through divine guidance. Build up belief in yourself and your dreams, and learn business strategies that work for you for real, lasting results. Learn more by visiting www.DivinelyDrivenResults.com.
I have struggled with anxiety my entire adult life. My mind was constantly filled with feelings of dread and negative thoughts about myself. But then I completed Dr. Friedman's Breakthrough Program and can't believe how much my life has changed in just a few months. Dr. Friedman's methods are different from anything I've ever tried, and they make so much sense, and more importantly, they work. I can never thank Dr. Friedman enough for his guidance and wisdom. Visit TheEmpowermentSolution.com and find out how his Breakthrough Program can help you transform your life.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Okay, you are listening to Fresh Courage on Transformation Talk Radio Network, and I'm your host, Sharon Rolfe, and we have today with us a guest, Richard and Leona Bergstrom, and they're going to tell us now how to live forever.
Well, that's an interesting twist. You know, I have a pastoral background, and I'm always interested in making sure that they've got their spiritual answer to that question. But actually, that title, it comes from this book by Mark Friedman, if I can just hold this up for a moment, How to Live Forever. And the subtitle is The Enduring Power of Connecting the Generations. Friedman is the founder and the CEO of Civic Ventures, or now called Encore.org. And he's done extensive research over the years on connecting the generations. And so his whole premise in How to Live Forever is to live your life out through the next generations and to make an impact in their lives. And so we actually took a group of 12 older adults through this recently in a study group, a reading group, and linking up in our local school district with some of the outreach programs that they have for their students at risk or in need, and challenging them, as we read through each chapter of the book, to think through the issue of how do you invest in the next generations. So I had a very practical experience with it recently. It's a misleading title for those of us that come from more of a faith perspective, because we assume it's about heaven. Well, that's not where he's coming from in the title. He's coming from the standpoint of leaving a legacy of generativity, of giving back to these next generations. So it's got some great insights that it comes with a study guide, questions you can download online, and the whole topic of mentoring is one that he develops, and the need for young people to have a mentor. Interestingly enough, I got an unsolicited request from LinkedIn recently where they invited me to become a mentor to a younger leader. I haven't followed up on that. I don't know where that's coming from, but it's just a need that young people have to have a mentor in their lives that can answer the big questions and help them work through some of the issues they're facing in their life or their career, marriage, or whatever.
Remind me of the name of the movie that he mentions in there about the jazz musicians that the older man was quite the trumpet player, and he got connected with a young jazz pianist. What was the name of that movie? It was profound.
I'm not sure. I'm not recalling that right offhand.
I know I watched it. I think I picked it up from the library, and it was so, I think they were both blind by the time he got older in age. But to be creating jazz music from, you know, a trumpet player and a piano player that so embodied the music was just kind of magical. So so tell us a little more about generativity. I had heard that term a little bit, two, 3 years ago, and what do they mean? But now I'm realizing it's giving life to being able to go forward instead of takers.
It comes from adult development psychology. And Eric Erickson developed this whole idea that in different stages of your life, you have to accomplish certain things before you can move to the next stage of development, from infant to death. And at about age 55, I mean, it depends on your society and where you are, but around then you come to this adult development stage where you choose either generativity or stagnation. So you begin to say, I either give back my life, things I've learned, my interest in, whether it's the conservation of our planet to the legacy of faith, am I going to pass that to the next generation? If not, my adult development will probably stop at stagnation. And then there's another final stage that he talks about of integrating all of your life in older age. But that's where that comes from. So that word generativity is an important activity of our growth, of our development as an adult. So that's kind of the word.
Well, it reminds me of older people are often categorized or labeled, I guess, as either they become bitter or better.
Mm-hmm.
That, and bitter would be that stagnation result.
Mm. Well, sometimes in their isolation, they may not be finding the opportunities to contribute or to give back. And we maintain that you have to be intentional about that, be proactive in your thinking, to explore ways of giving back, to find opportunities for volunteering, mentoring, contributing back, because those aren't always just handed to you. You have to discover those.
So wise community leaders, wise church leaders are developing that vehicle to help people give back to the next generations, whether it's Peace Corps, like you mentioned earlier, or whether it's Service Corps or Mission Trip. What is it that these organizations can begin to create infrastructure in order to encourage that kind of generativity and mentoring, intergenerational relationships?
I want to generate 40 years or more living, you know?
you're on a good path.
So you say that you've been helping some church ministers be more effective with the baby boomers. What's a couple examples of that?
Well, we have an interesting history with that because of our involvement in this topic, beginning in 2000, publishing a book on the title, giving seminars around the country. I was invited to join the staff of a church that wanted to develop an age 55 plus ministry. And so I became an associate at that time in this church, and we were mandated with launching a boomer ministry. So our introductory event was what we called the Baby Boomer Birthday Bash, and we invited a Beatles tribute band to come to the church, and that was the beginning of a 10-year run of annual boomer bashes to celebrate, not to mourn, turning 60 at the time. The oldest boomers were turning 60, and then we took on a national role with our denomination of leading second half ministry nationally. And so for 10 years, parallel, local and national, we were involved in that. And since leaving both of those assignments, we've continued to develop these themes more focused on the individual and helping them find and follow their purpose with passion in life, as opposed to, say, focusing on programming. Because frankly, the boomers were not turning out to some of the more senior adult kinds of activities that churches, faith communities typically offered. Mm-hmm. So we had to really pivot and think through how to reach into the heads and hearts of boomers. And so Reignite was our signature event for that. And then we were challenged to expand our footprint with our message. We wrote the book Third Calling. And again, continuing theme on that is delving into your life to rediscover purpose and live it out with passion. Most recently, we've taken that entire curriculum approach and put it online as a video course called Reignite You, which, since we just have a couple of minutes left, I might want to say we're offering that for free during this time when many are experiencing isolation. We have the tuition enrollment in that. You can find it at our website at re-ignite.net and use the code HEALTH, H-E-A-L-T-H, health. We all want to have health these days. And that's the buzzword, keyword to get you in for a free 8-session course called Reignite You.
Thank you for that, Richard. That's good.
That's
generous, So what's motivating you now and what are you working on?
Well, we're motivated to continue to follow our third calling and share our message, what we have to say to the world with whoever will listen. We'll go wherever invited and show up wherever the need is as people respond to that message. It's very motivating to know your calling and follow it.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for being my guest today. We've had quite a discussion here. I'm going to reiterate that his book, The Third Calling and My Life After Work, along with the study guide, is available. And then Musical Chairs is a video that they made, was it 18 years ago? But it kind of starts that reflection process in finding your meaning in retirement. You have a newsletter. Do you want to tell people how to sign up for that?
Well, all these things are available on our website.
Okay.
More about it. I guess to just reiterate, our passion is to help people discover who they are and what they can give back to society. And that can be done through reading a book or through the journal, which is a self-reflection. So whatever we can resource individuals and organizations, that's our calling. And that's what
Yes. So my website is effortlessvitality.org. And my little quill blocks that I like to show, they're available in the Etsy store called Quilted Petunia. And I have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel, so you can check out more of what I do there. And I want to give you fresh courage for your week, and be with us next week for another new show on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Ready to take some liberties and call some shots? I know I am. Join in next week on Fresh Courage Radio. It's your time to shine with Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com. If you still need some inspiration, let your curiosity lead you. Many still find their lives ruled by the clock, but you forge your own path. You are starting on a journey that will lead you outward, out of isolation, and inward to your true desires for life. There is no map where we're going, but let Sharon Rolfe be your guide in a new world of possibilities. Find your passion. Find your reason, find your fun, and everything you dreamed of. Every week brings new insights and ideas to light your way and elevate your day. To learn more about Fresh Courage Radio with Sharon Rolfe, please visit effortlessvitality.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.